Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening from. My name is Priscilla, aka Scylla.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Edward.
And welcome to the Common Nomad Podcast. Edward, how are you doing today?
Doing great, doing great. Another beautiful day. Got back for some more travel. I was in Orlando for a conference. And once again, just keep being grateful and blessed to travel, talk to different people from around the world. And really see the joy of the world. This past conference was very rewarding because just everybody looked so happy and everybody felt like they were doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they all said it took time. It all took time. And it just reassured me that I'm glad that I chose this profession. And then just talking to people from different walks of life always brings me energy, talking to new people that I've never met before, that I've never seen before, and you know, inviting them into my life to be connections, to building my network, and just beautiful. So this is the reason why I continue to have peace of mind, joy in my heart, because engaging with other people excites me to see that they're doing well and doing what they're supposed to do as well. How are you doing?
That sounds rewarding, especially the part where you're reminded of the profession that you chose, and I love to hear it. I'm doing okay, I cannot complain, and I don't want to complain. So that is me.
Of course, of course. So Priscilla, what's on your mind today? What's going on?
Glad you asked. So today I wanted to talk about the emotional capabilities when it comes to friendship. And I know that in previous episodes, we've talked about showing up for each other. And that's not what this episode is about. But this episode is basically, I guess, questioning whether or not friends who have emotional capabilities, if they're worthy of being able to accept someone for who they really are as a friend. So I'll go a little bit specific. One of the things I do want to talk about today is being a highly sensitive person, which some people may identify as. And a highly sensitive person is a term coined by psychologist Elaine Aron, I believe is her name. And of course, like I said before, for anything that we do reference in our podcast moving forward, we are going to put it in the description link or the episode description so you can understand it. So the term was coined by psychologist Elaine Aron. And her definition of a highly sensitive person is a population who are high in high personality trait known as sensory processing sensitivity. Those with high levels of sensory processing sensitivity display increased emotional sensitivity, stronger reactivity to both external and internal stimuli, pain, hunger, light, and noise, and a complex inner life. And like I said before, I will reference this. So am I a highly sensitive person? If you react strongly to criticism, become physically and emotionally overstimulated more easily than others do, and have a richer inner life, you may score high in sensory processing sensitivity. I also do want to say that there is a quiz for you to find out if you are a highly sensitive person, but I think people may have the emotional, I think people may have the ability to ask themselves if they feel that this is something that they identify. The reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I think a lot of people may feel like if I have someone who is overly sensitive, it's not something I'm willing to deal with, right? And that is what I mean by someone who may have a different emotional capability. So let's say there's two people that are friends. One person is less sensitive than the other person, and friend B is the person who happens to be highly sensitive. Then how is friend A able to manage friend B? Does friend A put friend B in a distance? Does he or she or they put them, you know, within, does she, he, they put a barrier between them, right? Because it might be something that you decide it's not something I'm willing to put up with. So I'm going to stop there. And I just kind of wanted to know, I think this makes sense, but I kind of wanted to know what you're picking up from what I'm saying.
No, it definitely makes sense. And I semi-agree with it. I don't agree with everything based off what I read from Dr. Elaine. That's Elaine. Is that correct?
I say Elaine, but
Dr. Elaine.
We'll correct this.
It's just because of my personal experiences and the way I view the world. That's the disagreement part, what I have. But I do agree that there are people in this world that are probably more susceptible and more highly sensitive to situations, environments, relationships, their internal belief within themselves. Of course, I do believe that. How do you handle and manage that as a friend? It depends. I know personally for me, I have a few of those people who I know who maybe I would classify as highly sensitive people slash, you know, we can use the word emotional, but not saying that in a negative way. And once again, these are just our beliefs. Like, this is just my way, how I view the world. This is not a professional opinion. This is not, you know, rooted in research or scientific discovery. That's just the way I would like to view the world. And I just think it could be difficult to manage someone like that if you're not able to cope with it, because you have to understand where they're coming from in multiple situations. And when you do, you're able to extend grace. Meaning when someone reacts in a way, not how you will react, but you understand, okay, why did they react that way? Okay, X, Y, Z. You know what? That's fair. That makes sense. And extending grace, not excusing the behavior, not justifying the behavior, but just understanding where they're coming from and walking in their shoes and know maybe they have a lot going on. Maybe they do have some type of mental health slash situation. I'm not saying high sensitive people do have it. I'm just saying in general, whatever it could be, anxiety, depression, overstimulation, the wrong environment, you know, they're going through something. As a result, you as a friend can either extend grace or you can combat them and say, don't treat me like that. I didn't do nothing to you. You know, I'm not deserving of that. And it turns into potentially an issue. And so I just always view to the right, you know, try not to combat people who are going through situations or who have that type of trait, highly sensitive person, if you know about them, because you know that if you do go back at them based on your emotional point of view, it might turn into a thing that could lead to conflict, could lead to name calling, could lead to yelling and anger and disappointment. And so you try to meet people in that regard to where they are. But I can continue on the part I disagree with, because that's the part I agree with, but the part I disagree with in that. But those are my preliminary thoughts.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, so what exactly would you define as a highly sensitive person to you? Because she's including both emotional and sensory, as in like touch, the five senses and beyond that, which could include people who have ADHD or who are also on the autism spectrum disorder. I'm not super, super well versed in that. So for our listeners in this podcast, we will be talking about highly sensitive people in terms of the emotional aspect of it. I wanted to understand. I think I either missed it because you were talking about the components in which you agree with it, but I am curious to hear what you disagree with and how would you necessarily define it?
So I don't want the way I interpret it, I don't want to use the word define because I'm not well versed in the whole research study of it, especially when you talk about the biological patterns and nervous systems. So the way I interpret it as is someone who is, I'll use the word, easily overwhelmed when in a highly stimulating environment, or someone who is responds to situations in an emotional impulse and not really being aware of it, but not really having understanding of the bigger picture. And once again, I'm not trying to define it because that's just the way when I read it, that's what I understood it. You know, they don't think logically when things occur. Meaning, and once again, I don't want to use the word personally, but they may take things personally, which is why they get affected in that way, that things are happening to you. And not by circumstance or happenstance, but they're happening to you. As a result, you need to respond or react in the way because you feel threatened slash attacked in this environment. And so that's my first part. That's the way I interpret it. Is that a correct interpretation?
Well, all of this is subjective, isn't it? So if that's how you interpret it, fine. And it seems like your definition is speaking more of the emotional part as opposed to the physical part. So someone's sensitive to like loud noise or things like that? Like, you're not, would your definition include that as well? Because technically she's saying someone who is both physically and emotionally affected is what makes a component of a highly sensitive person.
Yeah, of course. Now, we're talking about like physical conditions, you know, because of loud noises. Clearly, you mentioned people who are on the autism spectrum. Like, okay, those clearly, yeah. To me, so physical, yes, I can't speak on physical because, yeah, those are actual, like, I actually cannot control. Go ahead.
No. So that population, I believe, is called like neurodivergent, or I want to believe that that's the term that is referred to, neurodivergent.
Correct. So once again, I don't have the physical component. I don't have research and experience from that. So that's why I can't speak on the physical component, because those are actually, you know, conditions where I actually cannot control the way I react. Now, the emotional part, I think there's more control than the physical part. Once again, this is just my opinion. So the emotional part, I do think there's more control of it, which is why I'm speaking more towards that than you actually having like a physical, you know, physical ability not to respond in the way that you can't respond. Like, people who are loud to noise, no, if you're loud noise gives you migraines, yes, doesn't make sense. There's nothing you can do.
Well, I think if you are sensitive to loud noises, that doesn't have to be something that has to be confirmed medically, right? Like, if you just know that you can't operate on loud noises and you do tend to be easily overwhelmed, according to your definition, I think that's fine. And by the way, for the listeners, a highly sensitive person is not necessarily a diagnosis, I believe. So it's not something I think you need to go to your doctor or therapist or any other healthcare professional and be like, hey, am I a highly sensitive person? But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there. Continue.
So, and then the second part you mentioned was, what do I disagree with? And I mentioned this throughout the episodes of our podcast, and this is the way I believe. This is the way I experience life. To me, it's a mindset. And the mindset part is not being dismissive, it's not being secondary to the issue at hand. But at the end of the day, to me, if I want to wake up and want to do better, try better, feel better, I have to put myself in certain environments to do so, whether that's therapy, that's counseling, whether that's a spiritual belief to find your spiritual well-being, whether that's changing your environment with your friends and your family who may make you feel that way, wherever it may be, to me is a mindset. Because end of the day, if you do self-identify or we don't know if it's a diagnostic or not, but if you do relate to that trait of being a highly sensitive person, to me, I always ask, so now what? Okay, is that what the end of the analysis lies? I'm a highly sensitive person, period. Or is there more to the story where you can help maybe your friends and family, help you understand that, help you situate how you react to things? But to me, that's what it's about. And that's the way I think about the world. Like, it's, you need to have a bigger thing than yourself in that way. So that's why I say it is, to me, it's sort of like that mindset component, and not more so, okay, you know, accept me for where I am. Because not, but once again, I don't think it's solution oriented. That's just the way I view it. And it's all complicated. You know, that's why psychology, this is a very complicated field. There's no easy answer and no answer at all. This is the way I interpret and view it. So I disagree with saying like, okay, because you're a highly sensitive person, there's no way to get out of that, or there's no way to fix that, fix being very loosely, but there's no way to mitigate that. If you want to, and like I say, if you want to not be a highly sensitive person, I'm sure there are ways for you to implement things in your life to mitigate those situations, to feel better. You know, I'm sure there is, you know, but that's just the way I disagree with, because I don't think that's the end of the line. Because to me, it's a mindset. It's a choice intentionally to try, you know, to be the best version of yourself. And that's what I'm most about. Do you want to be the best version of yourself? Yes or no? And this is not an overnight thing, a weekly thing, monthly thing, not even a yearly thing. It's just you wanting the ability to be the best version of yourself and then choosing that way of life, that way of thinking.
So when it comes to friendship, let me just say this based on what you just said. I don't think a highly sensitive person is a flaw or there's something wrong with that. And I'm not saying that you're saying that, but I'm just saying that in general, right? Like, if you are a highly sensitive person, I am not one of those people that will make you feel like there's something that needs to be done. I know that, and I'm saying that because you're saying, should someone come to you with that information, your first question would be, now what? For me, my question would not necessarily be now what, because I'm understanding that you're letting me know, hey, your proclivity to things are going to be really high and your threshold for emotional and physical stimuli is quite low. Now, what I think happens for many people is that they normally don't want to deal with people who are highly sensitive. That's basically the feeling that I get. And I get that feeling because when our society and our culture is always telling you about yourself and, you know, basically there's a difference between like being self-aware and being selfish. I don't think those are the same thing. So I do think that our culture, as much as we talk about being self-aware, I also think that there's, I don't want to say an agenda because that sounds really strong. There is a push. There is an ideal push to be more selfish. That's how I'll nicely put it, if that's politically correct enough. So with that being said, it makes me think about friendship, and it makes me think about people who do have highly sensitive personalities. If there's a space for people like that in the world to really cultivate really great friendships, and for them to, I think they could be great friends. My thing is, the friend is friend A who feels like, no, you're too sensitive and I don't really want to handle this. Because then it makes me think like, well, then can people really show up how they want to show up as themselves and then have people and have friends who are really in their corner? You get what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying, but that's why friendship is a two-way street. If you know that about yourself, that you cannot handle or cannot be friends with a highly sensitive person, then you know that, you know, and that's why it's a choice. You can choose to have that friend in your life. For me personally, I would classify two or three people as highly sensitive people in my life, and I choose to keep them or have them. And now when things come up, I don't respond. I know that's, you know, like you said, they have a certain trait for them to be more susceptible to things than I am, but I accept it. I don't respond negatively. I don't respond in a way that's solution-based. I don't try to fix them. I just accept them for who they truly are. But yeah, I mean, that's once again, it's a choice. So if a friend does say that, like, hey, you're too emotional/sensitive for me, then maybe that was not your friend to begin with. Or maybe they just can't respond to that because of their situation they got going on. But it is a choice. Like anything, friendship is a two-way street.
I mean, so if that's new information, you get what I'm saying? Like, we all have things going on. There's no one in this earth that you're going to be like, okay, well, you have way more stuff than I do, so therefore I won't bring myself fully in this relationship, in this context, relationship meaning friendship. Like, we all have things going on, and I just don't think that's a good enough justification. I think because if we treated friendship and we regarded friendship the same way we did with relationships, you would want to be somewhat willing or compromising, right? Is that the right word, compromising? You would want to meet someone halfway if you truly regarded friendships the way you do in relationships, because I can easily hear people being like, if it's a relationship, I think I might be willing to put up with it. Well, do you not regard your friendship in the same way? Right. And I think that's just, you know, another point of that, another layer of that. However,
no, it makes sense. It is a choice. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
You're right. It is a choice. And I think for me, I find it funny and ironic that people want people in their lives to show up for them as is. But when it becomes like, oh, well, this person is so sensitive, well, once again, that's when it becomes like a negative connotation. Does that make sense? Like, you know, you also want people to show up for you and support you, and you may not be as sensitive as other people that you know. However, when the person that is highly sensitive wants support, now it becomes, oh, this is too much, or this is draining, which can also be true. Two things can be true at the same time. You can very much dearly love your friend and feel like, oh, well, I don't know if I could handle this. But also, your highly sensitive person may not necessarily be walking around crying every single day. And I don't think that's how we should think about people in that population. I just think it's a matter of there's two people showing up as they are, and there's a difference in how they are able to provide emotional capability, like what I said this episode is about, and how does that work? And I think when we use the word sensitive, I often hear it in the negative connotation. What were you about to say?
I was going to say that, and that's why building friendship takes time. Once again, I'm assuming that if you met a new person and you find out that they're highly sensitive, that's when you have a choice, right? Okay, you were not friends yet, but now that, you know, the last 2 or 3 months, we've been hanging out, connecting, talking, texting, FaceTiming. And, I realized things about yourself. And that moment, that's when the other person who's receiving the high sensitivities, this makes a decision. I want to keep this person in my life or I don't. And same thing for me. Like I said, the ones I've kept, I've kept. The ones I did not. Because, okay, I don't want to deal. I don't want, yeah, that, and that's what I'm saying. Now, when you've been friends for years and there's an update in the friendship, because now you have noticed that because of X, Y, and Z, whatever thing that's happened, or maybe there's something that's come out due to X, you know, another X, Y, Z, that's why now they're becoming a highly sensitive person. And that moment, yeah, this is the test of your friendship. To me, that's the test of your friendship. You can be friends for 5, 6 years. Everything be good. Everything's all great. And then something happened, or now things, or something consistently is happening to friend A. So now they're becoming highly sensitive and may now be part of their personality now. And now they're highly sensitive to multiple things in their life. And that moment you decided again, okay, this is my best friend. This is my close friend. I have a decision to make. I can be their friend regardless of their situations and accept now these new high sensitivities that now I'm understanding that they have, because they were not like that 2 to 4 or 5 years ago. Or I can, I can just walk away. And that's a test of the friendship. Like I just said, most of the close friends that I have who I've noticed have high emotion sensitivity to whatever, you know, I decide, yes, we are friends, meaning I'm going to be there for you now. I'm going to do that. And that's a choice. I'm going to do that. I personally have never had an encounter where a close friend I have for 3+ years came out with those high sensitivities and I decided not to be friends with them no more. But that's me. Now, going to the first point of me building a friendship within those 2 to 4 months of me building a friendship and notice those things, that's when I decide whether if I want to be their friend or not. So to me, that's the way I would go about it. And to be there for you got to be there for your friends if that's your true friend, and not be selfish in that moment because that's your true friend. You know, but if they're about to be your friend or they're an associate, to me, that's more of a choice whether you want to, quote unquote, deal with that or accept that in your life. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. I think while you're talking, it also makes me, continuously wonder why sensitivity is seen as weakness. Because that's basically what I'm getting, not just from you talking and not you specifically, but just the topic in general. That
I would view it as effort. It's more effort to handle, mitigate, and understand a highly sensitive person. So it's not weakness. It's just effort. Like it takes more out of me to come to your level of the high sensitivity. It does. So it means you must care about a person. You must love about that person. You must showcase it. And I'm excluding how the world views about this. We know how the world views crying, tears, weakness, sensitivity in general. We know that. I mean, unfortunately, that's just the case.
So but to make it more intimate, the world sees sensitivity as weakness. We're agreeing on that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, the world sees a lot of things as weakness. Yeah, duh. That's why the world is the way it is. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Continue.
Yeah. So that's why. But to bring it back intimacy, to bring it back to a more intimate situation, is not weakness. It's just more effort. My highly sensitive people who I associate with that became my friends is more effort to understand where the places they're coming from, to when I respond to things, especially in group chats, especially in big, family or friend encounters. It's more effort like, okay, wait, this is my friend X. He does this. She or he does this. Okay, now I got to do more than me just actually just like being chill, knowing things are not that deep. Once again, how I view things, if someone wants to offend you, they will offend you. The implicit subliminal situations where you feel this nerve of anxiety, stress, overwhelmment because of this life condition, you know, that's like, okay, well, I'm not trying to put you like that, but I see where you're coming from. Because, you know, of course, if you want to make someone's life stressful or come back at somebody in a negative way, there's direct ways to do it. But there's indirect ways. You know, like I said, I view the world as people not always gunning for each other or in a negative way. I do view the world as a peace, love, positivity place. That's the way I view it. So when things happen, I never think it's malicious. I never think they're doing it to me, regardless if something happens to me. I don't view it that way. Then that's me. Other people may view, no, when harm is done to me, I'm going to take it personally. And I'm going to respond in a way because they should know better. Or they should do better. And, you know, like I said, we all come from different places. Common sense is not as common as we know from other situations, communities, people, or experiences. So you have a choice the way you want to respond to it. But yeah, to me, it's not a weakness. It's just more effort to engage with them.
I am curious to know if the two or three highly sensitive people that you mentioned in your friend group, if any of them are males.
Yes, two are males and one is a woman.
And I wanted to talk about not necessarily how it shows up in men, because I do think that would be interesting. I think that would be very interesting, but I think I want to continue talking about emotional capabilities when it comes to showing up for people and how people are able to do that when they are emotionally sensitive. That's what I will say. That kind of sounds redundant. So I sent you basically like a screenshot, and I know that you guys can't see it, so we'll obviously talk about it. So in the screenshot, it basically says, what does it say? So it's a guy, and it's a screenshot of a Twitter thread. And he says, when I was depressed and suicidal in 2017, my close male friends would come home to keep me company. They do my laundry, my dishes, wash my house, and open the curtains for me. None even knew what depression was, but they knew I was down and needed help, and their love lifted me. And I think the reason why I wanted to talk about that is because when it comes to something like that, when it comes to how we view emotions, how we view it in men, whether it's a sign of weakness or not, I am happy that this gentleman was able to have friends that could show up for him in a way that I think most people would be like, well, that's just doing too much. Because I'm willing to stand 10 toes down that as much as you feel like that's too much, you would definitely probably want someone to show up for you in that way, but maybe you feel like you don't have that. And if that's the case, that's one thing. Times are different. 2017 and 2023. Well, I don't know how drastically things have changed, but things have definitely changed. I think seeing this made me think, okay, so you might write off someone who is depressed and possibly suicidal as a highly sensitive person. And if you are someone who may not, because he says in the last sentence or near the last sentence that they didn't even understand what depression was, but yet they were able to show up for him in a way that he probably would have never thought. And do you think personally that's doing too much for someone who might be going through that? Or someone who might be having a time where they're just really, really easily overwhelmed, to put it nicely. And do you think that's a way that you could show up for someone like that?
No, that's exactly what a true friend is. Those guy friends.
I asked if that's the way that you think you could show up, and you're saying no, or you're saying.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I think I was so ready to answer your first question about.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, that note was powerful, and I was like, I don't think you heard the question.
I don't think I was answering the second question. Go back to the first question, second question, one more time.
Basically, is that doing too much? The way that this
no.
Okay, got it. Keep going.
Yes. So no, that's not doing too much. Because like I mentioned before, that group of friends, I'm assuming all guys, came. Or true friends to them, meaning when they realized that their friend was down and needed a hand, they decided together as a group, I'm assuming all of them came over to do these things for them, wash the dishes, open the curtains, make food, other things to showcase. Those are true friends. That's not doing too much. The second thing you asked me something else, which I believe the answer is yes. But what's the second thing you asked me?
Now sorry. I forgot the second question. Is that a way that you could show up for a friend?
Yes, that's the ultimate definition of a friend, to be there when their life, quote unquote, is in shambles, when they're not going through the best time, or when, you know, wherever the depression may be, not even depression, when they're just feeling down, you know, whether it's with their partner, financially, their career, their spiritual belief, wherever it may be. And I say those four things because those are usually the four things I've noticed where it affects people. And of course, you know, your relationship, your belief with God, your career aspirations, and your financial motives is kind of like the four things I've noticed where people go through it, like me. You know, I'm not saying those are the only things.
I'll put in family as well, if you didn't mention
that. Yeah, family too. Family. Like I said, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just things I've, you know, experienced with myself and other people, but yeah, family as well. And yes, so that's the true definition of friendship. That's not doing too much. I would do the same for all my close male and woman friends. I would do the same thing because I accept these people in my life. And when they go into a situation as a true friend, I would be there for them. Just like you said, I expect them to be there for me when I'm going through these moments. You know, when I failed the bar the first time, yes, all my close friends understood that. And all they were there for me during that 2 to 4 month hiatus. You know, I wasn't my best self. You know, very few times in my life where I did question things. I did question my career. I did question my money. I did question who I was, and including you and others, y'all were there for me. And it wasn't a timeline. It's just when I got out of it, and because I chose to get out of it in that way, and that's the way I envision this. No, that's how friends should be. And if you feel like that's doing too much, then once again, then that's the test of how close your friendship really is. Because your friend going through that, and you just showing up to their house and doing these simple things and being there around you, not knowing what's going on, if that's doing too much to you, then that probably not is your true friend. That probably not is a friend at all. And that probably is somebody you probably don't want to associate with, because you can't just be with me when times are going great or times are, you know, happy and jolly. You can't, you know, this life. Things are going to be up and down no matter who you are, where you are. And you got to be there for people like that.
And I think it's easier to be around someone when they are happy and life of the party, or their spirits are very high, right? So I don't see friendships crumbling in that aspect. Of course, there are situations where someone's happiness is someone else's envy, and obviously those things happen. I think for me, seeing that one, that this was a male, was something that I was just like, okay, this warms my heart. He obviously looks Black, and his name gives it away, at least. But keeping this person anonymous, because though it's the internet, I'm not gonna put their business out there. I think I've had someone show up for me in similar ways where they didn't know what was going on with me, and their presence and what they did for me was something similar, where they did similar things for what this gentleman's friends did for him. And I think that's why I brought up the first topic, because I'm trying to basically parallel it with, in one aspect, it's like, okay, well, someone might be too much to handle. And another aspect, someone's looking at their friend and being like, there's something off with them, and I want to step in and I want to help them as much as I can. And I think for me, the reason why I'm looking at it as emotional capability is because you also have to be a certain kind of person to want to show up in that way, right? And even if you're not a highly sensitive person, it doesn't mean that two highly sensitive people need to be in a friendship so that they can understand each other better. Because the word sensitivity, however you, I guess, interpret it or define it, I think I like how you said interpret as opposed to define. However you interpret it, I think is also a matter of, are you like, when people ask, like, are you sensitive to certain things? That doesn't have to mean like a bad thing. It's just, Are you picking up on something, you know, more often than other people would? Are you sensitive to touch? Is it that if I accidentally brush past your shoulder, are you going to have a knee-jerk reaction? Like things like that, you know? I don't think those are great examples, but that's basically what I'm saying when it comes to maybe this is a night, maybe this is a point in which people need to reframe what sensitivity is, because I 100% agree with you that sensitivity is still seen as weakness. And I think that needs to kind of just die and have its own funeral. And I think seeing this gentleman put this Twitter thread of how his friends showed up for him, to me, it's like, okay, there's friendships out there that exist like that. And I wonder if, you know, the listeners, if that's a way that you have been able to show up for people, if people have shown up for you, if it was a highly sensitive person, if it wasn't a highly sensitive person, and like, what does that mean for you in terms of, because I think when we think about sensitivity to emotions, I also think correlation does not equal causation. So I say that to say, I think you kind of need to be sensitive in order to somewhat be emotionally aware and emotionally intelligent. Because you kind of need to observe that, right? Like, does that part make sense?
You do need to observe that, and that it does take a certain person, you know, and once again, certain person of who you are and certain person, what kind of friend you want to be. And that's why I said it's a choice. That part, it's a more of a choice, especially about deciding to deal or deciding to have high sensitive people in your life. But no, definitely. No, I agree with you.
Yeah. So I think we fleshed out most part of what I wanted to talk about. So I think listeners, you know, it's just something for you to think about. We're not experts, but we are definitely giving our take on what we feel about certain topics. So we do want to continue to thank you guys for the support. Definitely share these episodes with your friends or people that you feel would enjoy our podcast. Thank you for the comments and reviews. If you have any business inquiries, any collaborations, or any questions, you can email us at thecommonnomad@gmail.com, thecommonnomad@gmail.com. And as always, take care. And until next time.
Next time, everyone, take care.